quorum.
Yes. Sarah Holmgreen.
Here.
Kari Peterson.
Here.
Carrie Case.
Here.
Katie Holmland.
Here.
Nicole Olson.
Here.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll make a motion to approve the August 19th agenda. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Next, we'll move on. We probably don't have any student representative reports or presentations because school hasn't started yet, but in a month, next month. And also no report. We'll move on to correspondence. Any correspondence, Mara?
There is none.
Okay. Moving to comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items. Okay, seeing no one, we'll move on to comments from the audience related to agenda items. None? Okay, comments from board members? Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda. Could I have a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Kari. Any discussion? This includes our monthly accounting bills, payroll, electronic transfers, fundraising, student activity summary report, and our P-card statement. Hearing no discussion, Mark, could you please call the roll?
Kari Peterson?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. Next, we'll move on to our fiscal year 2025 fourth quarter investment report.
No, that's part of the consent.
Oh, sorry. Yep, you're right. That was actually very exciting.
Yes.
Glad to see that we're not going to be spending as much money in our deficit. We won't be as far in deficit. All right, sorry about that. We'll move on to our administrative reports for Superintendent.
All right. Well, Taylor. Welcome back, everybody. We're ready to start the new school year. So things are happening fast and furious. I've submitted the report, so if you have any questions, feel free to certainly ask. Our projections for enrollment are up about 20 to 25 students right now.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Anticipated. In fact, I heard Ms. Kahn today say that they had another family walk in the door and enroll that they weren't expecting. So,
wow.
So that's helpful for the deficit. I'm just concerned about staffing. Right now, we still have two certified positions that are vacant, but met with Ms. Kahn today, and we have a potential plan to kind of try to offset it, but we have to talk with some folks first to see if that may pan out as to how we hope. And we also have a special education teacher, Sharon Balkos, that we are working with the Alaska Council School Administrators to try to bring over from the Philippines. We're in process while we're waiting for her and all the paperwork to work its way through. We do have Carol Wagner, who has agreed to step in and support that special education role for the time being. So that's helpful. I spoke today on the radio about the CLSD grant, so we're excited about that, but it took some time to get it to where the state and we could meet the state and federal requirements, as well as with our vision of what we want to do with supporting literacy in the district when we are doing so well as it is. We just want to be able to enhance the work we're doing and really find a way to continue to move forward with the professional development that we've been doing through NIET supporting us with structure and core one with visible learning. So we've been able to put that together, and Leanne Jenkins applied for and accepted the role as the district literacy coach. So she's already rolled up her sleeves. She has ideas for working with the radio on some literacy events. She's got monthly literacy challenges going. The uniqueness about this grant in particular is that we couldn't just focus on kindergarten through 12th grade. There's a birth to age 5 component that had to be in place for all districts. And so I'm looking forward to the continued and improved collaboration with our preschools and daycare programs and some of those parent events that Leanne's working on. The biggest update is in the report that I submitted. At the time, we had not received any word from the state of Alaska on whether or not the early education program application that Ginger Evans worked on all year last year that was more arduous than accreditation. We did receive acceptance, unconditional acceptance of this.
I don't know how significantly different that will look from how we're, our current operations are. We're going to meet with Jane McFarland from the state of Alaska tomorrow, really just because of our staffing realities. So we'll see how that transpires. Those who are here got to walk in the door and see our updated high school office remodel. It looks fabulous. The contractor really pulled some long hours to try to meet the deadline. From the original application, they were a week off of getting our folks in the door, but we actually anticipated that from the get-go. So that's on. That was good to see. The middle school, high school roof replacement is also on track. The contractors are really trying to get this front side of the building taken care of so that they can get all the equipment moved to the back side and focus on the back side of schools in session. So we're currently on track for mid to late October completion of that, and hopefully before the big rains come. And then the last thing really is this is the year of the audit for us. We have our annual fiscal audit. Special education is being audited. Facilities is on the rotation with the state for the audit, as well as our national school lunch program.
Cool.
So we're a little bit busy, but it's all good.
What kind of questions do you have for me? Do we know where those additional students are coming from?
Quite a few are coming from homeschool.
Oh, great. Okay, cool.
Kind of spread out K through 12?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Exciting, especially since we budgeted for fewer than that.
Yeah. We were trying to be very realistic on the budget and not over.
Yeah.
Like we did on the budget.
Well, I think the senior class finally hit 30 kids for the first time ever since beginning kindergarten. 31.
Wow.
Not even over 30. I think they were 26 or 25 when they were born,
gonna take
when they
so long.
Kindergarten. It was pretty small.
And our exchange student did arrive yesterday.
So oh, good.
There.
Got a glimpse of
so
a little bit of
stuff. On the ground.
And where are they from?
Germany.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay. We will move on to the elementary report. Ms. Kahn, welcome back.
I have nothing additional to add to the report. So, Ms. Jenna, here, if you have any questions.
I thought I did. You have to read the report?
No, I don't.
Shoot. Should have written it down.
Okay. I will say I really like the handbook, how you have all the Dibble stuff in there for the parents.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a lot.
It was a lot.
And I was like, oh, I love that you have it in there. It was really nice to see. Yeah, anyway.
I hope people read it. But, yeah.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Next, we'll move on to middle school, high school. Principal's report, Mr. King. Welcome back.
I don't have a whole lot to add either, other than answer questions. As we did the handbook particularly, we are taking in and addressed a few things. Katie said today we've addressed that in the handbook. It's not this document here. Is that I would like to answer any questions or concerns that people might have.
I have just a couple comments, I guess, about the substantial changes that we were part of the packet. On the attendance, I was just curious if we could add the word the students are absent 20 unexcused consecutive days, because I would assume that if they were excused consecutive days, we're not going to be unenrolling them from classes. Or is that just kind of a given?
It's kind of a given, but the reason for the 20 plus consecutive days is because when we have someone who leaves for 6 weeks on vacation or something like that, really hard for them to keep in track with the class and get credit in class. So the idea behind that is that we will unenroll them from, let's just say, world history or something like that. We unenroll them from world history class and then encourage them to go through our independent study program, pick up their world history, and complete the units that they would miss, so that when they step back in, we have a grade for them that will mesh with both.
Okay.
We had a few of those last year, and when we were attempting to keep them in line with the teachers and in the classes as they were going along, and it ended up being quite a bit of a burden, not only on the teachers, but on the student to actually negotiate this stuff. So it's the purpose behind that is not to enroll them per se permanently. Matter of fact, I'd just rather unroll them from the current classes and then put them into the program. In this way, the reason we chose 20 plus consecutive days is because it's basically half a quarter. So in most classes, it's like a full unit that's been dropped out, or maybe two. But that allows us to bring them right back in where they are, right back into their schedule as they return.
So is it handled differently if someone is out for medical reasons?
Yeah, that would be completely different.
Okay.
This is more like for planned absences.
Oh, okay.
That are not medically related.
Okay. I kind of assumed that, but I thought, well, it doesn't specify.
I can specify that a little better. I can up that word.
Yeah, and I think depending on the medical situation, like determine what the best route is for them.
Yeah, whether to homeschool for a while.
Yeah, if they're going to be gone for a significant amount of time for some medical emergency or need, it might be to have them on an independent study program and even give them that option.
Okay.
And that late and missed assignments, that's now cohesive between both the middle school and the high school?
Yeah, we put that in place. The teachers, we went back and forth about this quite a bit, but this was what the teachers felt real comfortable with. It also kind of takes it off of their plate to have to explain why certain things are applied. It becomes every teacher's doing it, this teacher's not being nice, and that one's being harsh. They're just all the same. So. Mm-hmm.
Is that for both illness as well as travel, the late assignment and missing work?
Yes. But travel, I mean travel, for instance, for activity travel, is you're still in school based on that. So the policy will apply that the work is due when the work is due. Talked with Mr. Cabral, and the coaches offer study time. The only time that we will... at the study, the coach informs us that there was not an opportunity for the students to study and not penalize the students.
The only other comments I had were kind of pivoting to maybe the cell phone. So the kids are not going, if they stay at school for lunch, they won't be able to have their...
If they leave campus, they can take their phone. Otherwise, it'll stay in the classroom.
So my concern would be is kids would not be eating lunch here. Oh. But they will deliberately leave. and that could affect, I mean, I'll be honest, it could affect our ability for the lunch program. Or you have kids intentionally skipping lunch and not eating when they should just because they want to be on their phone for 40 minutes in the middle of the day, which is not necessarily a good incentive, but I just could foresee, I can just see my teenager not staying at all during the school day. Staying at the school for lunch at all, and right now he stays almost every day, maybe once a week, goes off campus. So that would be my only concern for other reasons than just, yes, it would be nice if they were just talking to each other and not on their phones, but I'm concerned about how it could impact our lunch program, selfishly.
You can certainly look into that, talk about it, see if that's a change we want to make. I would like to... A few of the reasons we're trying to eliminate the cell phones is one of the major reasons. It's about right at 90% of our bullying events that happen during the school day involve cell phones. So we're trying to get away from that a bit. I will talk to Carly and Rob and see if anything can be adjusted there. One thing that we have been working on also is recognize that students check out during the day. It's not as large numbers as you might think. It happens periodically. The students that are going on a trip with the school will have them deposit their phones in the office rather than their first period class, so they won't have to go back because that's where they're going to pick up their luggage anyway, and they come stick up their phone.
Okay. I know teachers aren't back yet, so maybe you'll hear from them this week. Any concerns for those first period and fourth period teachers and that burden of making sure, because they have, so if you go into your first period and you go back to that first period class at the end of the day to get your phone, if you're not picking it up in the middle of the day during like lunch or leaving campus for lunch?
We've actually added a couple of minutes, both first and seventh period, so that
so that they're 2 minutes longer than
okay.
Cell phone groups.
Okay.
And for computer equipment.
Okay. So the process will be as they come in the morning to go to first period, if they're here, first period, and deposit with that first period teacher, and in theory would not pick it up until they come the end of the school day and they come back to that first period classroom.
That's what the middle schoolers were doing last year. Yeah. We're just moving this to high school as well.
Yeah, we're just the one variation was allowing high schoolers to take it to lunch and stuff like that because we thought we wanted to move partially along. Initially, we were thinking of lockboxing the whole thing, but then someone pointed out that students often go downtown and use their phone to pay for their meal. Mm-hmm. So
we wanted to make that possible. Yeah. I'm just thinking just the logistics side of things. If they come back from lunch and they're going to fourth period, so then they would return to that fourth period teacher and they only have probably a certain window of time to get there.
Right, until the teacher obviously leaves for the day, which the teachers are there till 3:45, stays except for a meeting.
Do they tend to lock their rooms if they have to go to a meeting, though?
They do, but we're going to have at least two, if not four, paras that will be working in the school after school doing teacher help on the work days when the teachers have their meetings and most people be able
to. Okay. So yeah, really that was my only concern was lunchtime. Whether it's going to unintentionally divert kids away from the school lunch program just because they want, they're going from having access to no access, and just in the interest of having access that they'll just leave the school grounds almost every day and it could have that negative impact on it.
Of course, if they don't want to experience that, and any of those, the driver or anything, can look at the cars or on campus. We're not going to be, you're not to have them on their person, but obviously, if it's in your backpack and it's not ringing, buzzing, ringing, it's
concerned.
Particularly, don't want them on their person, but research shows that as soon as they hit a buzz in their pocket, it takes them 20 minutes to get back on track. With what the lessons teaching, it's two buzzes in a period would not be uncommon for most of the kids I know, and it would be the whole period. So,
and last year they were just putting them in slots at the beginning of each period
and collecting them after.
Okay.
And that also has problems with they forget to put it in the next period they go into, and it gets taken away and it's a situation. So trying to simplify it for them as well. Mm-hmm. It goes in here, it's there. That's where it stays.
Okay.
So ultimately, if kids are just leaving them in their backpack, they're coming to school, they're left in a backpack in the locker.
Yeah, as long as it's not buzzing or ringing, and they're not messing with it between classes, we're not going to have a problem. Of course, between classes, we want to have to grab it and spend 20 minutes in the bathroom with the latest TikTok challenge.
Well, I guess I have a question. Do the kids, do they use iPhones? Do they have a watch?
We have a few. There's not a whole lot. But it's becoming more popular.
But so those have to come off too?
Yeah, because they can scroll. Basically, it's anything that can send or receive a signal.
Oh, so even the Apple Watches. Okay, I can tell you my middle schooler wore hers all last year, and it was never compensated.
Yeah.
Or it was never taken.
It wasn't actually in the program last year. Yeah. We didn't even think about them.
Uh-huh.
As they become more popular, you see kids scrolling.
Yeah, the messages pop up on them.
Yeah.
If they're within range. Yeah.
Within range of where their phone is.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the earbuds. Leave the music on in there. Put it in the sleeve, and then they're dancing in the class while because it's picking up the Bluetooth across the room, so. Trying to reduce the distractions as much as possible.
Okay. Any other questions regarding policy? Okay. Or not policy, but the update on the handbook? Okay. All right. We'll move on to activities report. Mr. Kroll, welcome back.
Hello, all. Happy summer.
Hard to believe it is.
All good. Questions from my report. I won't bore you by going through.
Is that the only meet that we're expecting for middle school cross country?
Yes, and then we're waiting for, and then that's one here, and then we're going to see where dates from other ADs coming in. A little bit of a turnover in the region, so we're playing catch up with some of those. So I'm trying to figure out where they're. where that meet will be, if it's back to Prince of Wales, or if we just do something with Wrangell a little bit later in the year. So, but that's ours. That's our name. Here. So,
can you tell us a little more about the SALT program?
Absolutely.
Is that for the local kids, or is it?
So, the vision here, my annual project will be the SALT program, Student Activities Leadership Team. Each coach and advisor, so from drama, from music, from basketball, from baseball, from volleyball, every team will designate two individuals. And they will come to me, we'll meet 10 times a year, and we have a full-fledged curriculum on leadership from the activities world. And trying to create a little bit more unity, even more unity than we have with all of our programs. So just going through leadership programs with all of them, you guys are more than welcome to come to our first meeting. And I'll send that to you guys, too, just to see it, because that's where it evolves, is where they kind of take the lead. And kind of bring those leadership qualities and just building camaraderie amongst the entire district. So it's a full long-year commitment. We're looking at kind of a senior, junior, and an underclassman, maybe not necessarily a freshman yet. And then when that senior leaves, then we pull in another one and the experience there. So continually go. So we'll meet once a month. The lessons are pretty long on a lot of the stuff that they're doing, setting goals. What do you want your school to look like, and taking more of a leadership piece from the student side for not just activities, but the whole in general. And then there's a community service project as well that has to go into that. So looking forward to it. Super excited. We are the first Alaska school to be part of this program, using the two words curriculum. And I can send you all that stuff. It's really good. He's a great leader down there. It is part of the Independent Texas League. It is their certified group, so that's like the ASAA of Texas. He's the main person that does all these leadership programs down in Texas. So stole it from someone else. I'm going to try it.
What time are they meeting on the 8th? What time are you having them meet?
That's going to be the big question when we meet with all of them, because they are so dang busy. That it might be kind of an evening when we look at some of their days. Some of the programs, once they get established, they actually let them pull them out during the school day. But that's something that, you know, in the future we'll kind of look at and see how it goes. But we definitely need, and it's not necessarily your overall, you know, most talented, most leadership kids. It's the ones that can stick the program out and kind of have like that camaraderie piece with their whole group. So sent that out to all the coaches back in July. They all got the information, so they know it's coming, which is super exciting. I'm excited. Super excited. The big one, I will talk about it. It just passed in May.
Baseball.
Baseball. Part of the new conference. It is called the Aurora Coastal Conference, and it includes Fairbanks and Petersburg.
It's going to be pretty handy.
So.
Maybe it's still cheaper than Sitka getting
the Okay. Yeah, but I just looked at a ticket the other day. It's $500 round trip. Yeah. So baseball has changed in the state where the number has adjusted, and there's not a whole lot of teams. A couple teams have a hard time finishing the season. And so instead of us being waiting for an at-large bid, we now have a conference with Delta, Hutch, and Monroe Catholic. One team from those three will come down to Petersburg on a weekend. We will go up once, play the other two that we didn't play. We won't do a region tournament to save funds. Whoever has the top two best records are the two bursts that come from this conference. And so it's going to be great. It actually only commits you to two weekends with them, too, so, which is fabulous. So the AD up in Fairbanks, him and I have been looking through it. We created a policy procedures, which we'll vote on in October. And so we will know whether or not we'll make it to state way earlier, too. That's the piece where instead of us waiting and waiting and waiting, we will still play Southeast schools. They will still play us in those other weekends, which is great because they'll still come here. We'll still go there. Now we actually have a conference. And Division II baseball now will only do four teams instead of eight. And it's a shorter state tournament. So it's only a Friday, Saturday. So you don't have to go up as long. So just thinking for ways of reducing funding and all of that stuff. How can we make it work? So I think it's excited. Coach Engel's super excited about this because we have to play different people.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
And we usually see them at the state tournament. The activities calendar online is up to date all the way through April of 2026, actually May of 2026, mm-hmm. with all the activities that we know. So you can look on there, find whatever activity piece you're looking for. The basketball schedule is on there on our activities website too, or on the calendar, just the calendar with that. So if you're planning, it's all there.
Great. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, that's right. So hopefully you're able to read the food service report. I like the little added about our new staff. It's kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. and then also the director of technology report is also in our packet. And hopefully you have a chance to read it. I did have a couple questions, maybe, if you guys know. I just wanted to put this out because it's something that is changing, and whether parents realize it or not, is that the Chromebooks for middle school aren't apparently coming home for middle school kids to use. It says that they're ending their life cycle. So what happens to them then?
So I'm trying to remember. They are repurposing them down into the elementary, correct?
Okay.
And this was, for those who were at that tech committee meeting, this was where he can add the Mac OS
yes.
platform.
I don't know what I'm doing all summer. so now the Chromebooks will have the Mac OS on them, operating system.
Oh, okay.
So when you log into that Chromebook, it'll look like an Apple.
Oh, interesting.
So I think what I'm hearing echoed for most 6th to 8th grade parents, 7th grade going into 8th, especially those kids use those Chromebooks every single night for homework.
See, what's interesting is the survey that went out last spring showed just the opposite.
That the kids responded to or that parents responded to?
Was it parents or was it?
I don't remember the survey.
I didn't. I don't think I filled out a survey.
We can get back.
Okay.
That's my only concern.
But I also recall, and maybe Alice, you might know from a teacher standpoint, but I feel like the information I heard was that the kids have plenty of time during the school day, and they seem to be getting their homework done during the day.
Not my experience, but not with my kids. But
definitely, I know through talking with Mr. Clute Painter, you know, families that feel that, you know, theirs is a situation where the kid was needing it at night, like just have a conversation with Brad and Jamie and John, and they can work through some options.
I think it would be helpful to send another email out, because there was the Facebook post, which I didn't see, and I don't know that there's been any other communication out to parents and families.
I think it's going to be a surprise for at least 7th and 8th grade parents, maybe not incoming 5th grader, you know, incoming 6th graders, because they didn't have those at home. But my experience, at least for the last 2 years of the middle school, not as much in 6th grade, but although there was a very big uptick in homework coming home, and it wasn't just paper homework, it was online. And even last year, I can't count. And maybe it was my own unique situation of our daughter not being able to finish things at the school, but it was often on her Chromebook. Most of it was the was not math, because that was in the textbook, but it was the language arts classes.
Okay,
that were.
And then same thing with backpacks. That's another piece of that.
Yeah, I'm not sure people are prepared to.
Yeah,
and I think they are. Want to speak to that?
We put that out on the spell sheet, we'll put it out again. Backpacks are, they're available.
I'm just concerned people are going to show up next week and go, what? We don't get a backpack? Now I got to scramble and find one in town. They may already have one from traveling. You know, it's maybe not as big a deal as I think it is. I just think people aren't using, I don't know how many, if you can tell how many people are using Thrillshare yet.
I need to download
that. Probably very few, just because it's kind of this new, it's not really new, but it's new to push out to make, you know, to try and get us to use it. But also one Facebook post is probably not enough, unfortunately, especially when there's been a historical practice for years now, dating back to even my 32-year-old being in school here, of getting a backpack from the school. And so that is a big change.
In middle school?
Not in middle school, in high school. And I know they're still getting them in high school, but I would have to think back to when they started doing it in middle school. But it's been at least probably 10 years. Was COVID only?
And Chromebooks going home started.
Interesting. So it wasn't as far back as I thought. Okay, it's only been 5 years. Okay, that isn't very far back then.
I have the secretaries in the text to create all the parents that we have.
Okay. So what are happening to the backpacks that were used for middle school already? Are those just getting repurposed for our new students that are the unexpected rise that we have and maybe high school students?
In good condition, he's planning to keep them until they reach high school age, their own backpack.
Oh, okay, and then they can just use it, when they become freshmen. Mm-hmm. Okay,
and,
that makes sense.
He will check them out. So if somebody does show up and doesn't have a backpack and needs a backpack, he will still check out a backpack, and I believe he will still check out, with discussion, a Chromebook.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
I know the Chromebook was really, my kid didn't ever use it for like homework on a regular day, but when he was home, like too sick for school but could still get stuff done, he would like to keep up so that he wasn't super far behind when he did come back to school.
That's when I saw a lot of use that.
Yeah, it was for sure. Sick. Yeah.
And I know you could probably, if a family does have their own laptop, that's a little different, but it was, everything was so nice, it was loaded for the kid. I couldn't go anywhere else besides that. But yeah, when you're sick, it's pretty helpful. But
yeah.
Okay, I think, maybe just another big, seems like it would be good, another big push of like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it's important, it could be a budgetary topic. To increase his budget in order to be able to purchase or continue with the item with the ones that are outdated.
Yeah, I think at least at this point, I think it's just more of a get the word out more about the changes and then go from there. At least that's the way I feel right now, and then maybe figuring out if there are certain families that don't have access to laptops at all in their home, then maybe it's a case-by-case basis. I did like in the report, this is kind of exciting, and hopefully once things get rolling, we can advertise this pretty well for the community on September 17th and 18th. For those that are listening, Mr. Painter put in his report that the Petersburg School District will be hosting a nationally recognized digital health and safety expert, Katie Greer. And there'll be an evening presentation for parents and caregivers to provide practical guidance on emerging tech trends, social media safety, family device rules, and how to foster meaningful conversations about digital life at home. And it sounds like the planning as well as the financial support came from multiple sources, including the Petersburg Police Department, Partners in Education, WAVE, PIA, and Petersburg Medical Center. So it's something to put on your calendar for sure, because I think we can all, even if we feel like we're up to speed on it, it might be a good, just to go anyway. That's the thing is, we aren't.
Can you repeat that date again?
Yeah, September 17th and 18th. It sounds like she'll be doing a 2-day community-wide event focusing on that. And so she'll be in the school, I think, working with staff, but then in the evening it'll be for parents and caregivers. And I don't know if it's both nights for parents and caregivers or just an option, but I'm sure as we get closer we'll know for sure. But it's something to just at least mark on your calendar now to block out those 2 evenings and see which one might work to go to it. I would know in the past we've had them and they were, years ago, and it was well attended because it's pretty important information, but I'm glad to hear that we're able to get someone come back. This is silly, but so the new app, or no, it's not new. Okay, the school app? Yeah, it has this is totally silly, but it bothers me, so I'm going to say it, is it has the Burroughs little emblem. It has the boats. It says Petersburg, and it has the boats on it.
We use that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what
I know. It's weird.
That's been the school district logo.
I thought it was in conjunction with the borough. I've never associated those. I've always thought of the borough when I should go.
When the borough did that, they created ones for each entity in town. And so ours just says school district underneath.
Okay. I just don't think of boats when I think of a school district. Okay. I just thought when someone's searching for it, I was like, that I would not go. That's the right school district. But okay. I will live with it.
No, I'm kidding. I just wanted to ask. All right. Any other comments or questions? All right. We'll move on to our, we won't have any committees yet for crisis curriculum facility legislative liaison. We'll see what happens this fall or January. Any other policy? You probably took a nice long break, hopefully.
Policy's going to start up really soon.
Okay.
We do have a slew of recommendations from AASB for some policy updates. So those will be the first ones that we address that we'll bring to the September 4th meeting.
Okay. Technology we just kind of went through, but you guys will have it next spring. And, of course, wellness. Okay. Any comments about your board? Your little our subcommittees. Okay, Marianne, we don't have any old business. Move on to new business. First is our CPI, or Capital Improvement Plan. A long-term capital improvement project, or CIP, plan is an important step in securing state funding for major maintenance and building projects. The Facility Committee met with David Landis, CERC representative, that's Southeast Regional Resource Center, who helps navigate the state and federally funded school building projects. And school board member Nicole Olson joined them to review and prioritize a six-year plan. So hopefully you're able to review it. Look at it. With several.
I had a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Number two, has it already been done?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And as
that's what I was thinking.
Also see, one is in process.
Yeah.
So the way the state's calculation method to score these is very complex. If the project has been completed, then you can put that on and you earn more points on the scoring scale to hopefully get reimbursed for portion of those.
And we should also share that the borough actually paid for the gym sewer line repair out of their pocket. We're waiting for some reimbursement for that on this.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that was another question.
And so the second one for the pool, that one hasn't been done yet? Or
it has not. They are in the process with like all the design and bid. I don't think the bid documents, but I think they've got like the 95% drawings complete.
And that one will be coming from the borough too, I assume?
The pool, hopefully I can word this correctly, if I understand it correctly, the pool falls under school CIP because of how the pool was created years ago, mm-hmm. So that project can fall under our six-year CIP plan.
Okay.
That one's frustrating because it's really not that old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It almost makes me wonder if it was a design flaw or the contract. Whether it's not necessarily the plumbing, but maybe foundation if it's settling down, hitting mm-hmm. the slab, crushing pipes. Maybe you wouldn't think if it was a 40-year-old or 50-year-old building, but what is it, less than 30? They built it since I've moved back.
As I was saying.
The new one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it could have been quick
too. Oh, that's good.
We have received a draft copy of the code and condition survey. It's almost 200 pages. So yeah. I'm not halfway through that. I'm reading yet. But I anticipate this will likely look different next year as we really dive into that code condition survey. Uh-huh. They did identify that the underside of the elementary school is going to be a major area to focus on because there's so much water under there and there's not enough ventilation that mm-hmm. is prime for mold and moisture damage. Mm-hmm.
And with that report, Robin, where does it go from the draft 200 pages now? Do they whittle and pare it down? Or
no,
do they ask for feedback?
Look at that whole thing. Uh-huh. They looked at everything from
inside and out.
All the, yeah, inside and out, the mechanical, boiler, everything. And so they're as well as they took the old Jens Bjørva lot document from 2008 and were able to see some areas in there that they didn't know about or see or have information on from any of our documents. So once we get their finalized version that has page numbers and table of contents, all that, then we'll be able to probably need to spend some time really going through it and then sitting down together in a work session to talk about areas that we see as significant needs versus what they've also identified with our group as significant needs.
Okay. Do you have any concerns? Is anybody having concerns about the order?
Can you go back to the top of what's on there, right? It was like the last one.
What's that?
Was the elementary school on there, or was it just noted?
That was
just, I read it somewhere.
I think in my board report I may have.
Cool. Do you have a question, sorry, or comment?
Mm-hmm. No, I just wanted Mara to go back up to the top.
Oh, okay.
She's there. Yep.
Okay. Well, if nobody has any questions or comments further or discussion, I'll make a motion to approve the six-year CIP capital improvement plan. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or comments? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Next, we'll move on to 15.2, which is our extra duty contracts. In the operation of the school district, there are extra duties that do not fall under any particular job description for work done outside the school day. These extra duties are part of the ATP negotiated agreement, and in the past, the district has put extra duty contracts before the board on a monthly basis. This year, where all extra duties have been filled that have been filled will be approved at the beginning of the school year but paid during the assignment time frame. And so hopefully you're able to look over that list. We only had two vacancies still, which is our assistant track and field and wrestling, mm-hmm. I think. So those will hopefully maybe get filled closer to the period.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a few.
Yeah, some that just aren't even active. We still have them on as an active group, or I mean as a potential. It pains me to see debate and drama stricken.
Yeah.
Just makes me sad. I know. I'll make a motion to approve. Make a motion to approve the extra duty contracts as presented. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none. Mark, could you please call the roll?
Sarah Lindgren?
Yes.
Carrie Peterson?
Yes.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Nichols?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. Next, we'll move on to 15.3, which is just informational. It's the 2025-26 updated school handbook review. Oops, we should have just talked about it then. Instead, we grilled Mr. King earlier. But the principals and the AD director are responsible for the school activity handbooks, and this item is on the agenda for us to preview. So I didn't know if you had any other parts of the handbooks you wanted to discuss besides cell phones and late homework.
There was a price increase for one of the activities.
I missed that.
For baseball.
Baseball increased.
Yeah.
$10.
$10? Okay.
10 or 15. Just with the addition of their new conference going a little bit further north,
mm-hmm.
For our trip. So, and just with the possible, whatever the contract is, when you're an off-road school, typically Southeast, upper area schools don't like to pay a whole lot. So they're most likely written inside of our contract with this new conference is that we will have to help subsidize the team coming down. So our price increases a little bit to keep it operational. but we still get those games. So just a price increase for baseball. So it's just going to match what we're doing for our spring sports. So I think it went up to $205 for baseball.
Did they help subsidize our trip up there?
Absolutely not.
Oh,
yep.
What?
Yeah, no. No, never happens.
But we have to subsidize them coming down.
Yeah. You want me to give you a scenario?
Sure. I mean, thinking about Fairbanks.
Yeah. Football, which is very similar. One school that has football, in order for them to have a conference, they must pay their way up to go play football. Any team that comes down there, they have to pay 36 tickets every trip down. When you're an off-road island-locked school, it's not always easy. Yeah, so...
Because things aren't cheap enough. Aren't expensive enough already.
Right. And some of those schools don't have the budgets as much as, like, the support we do. Mm-hmm. That's the other piece. And they can just drive to go, you know, play other games. But for us to at the conference is a little bit easier, and it's guaranteed games. That's the beauty of it. It was very hard for a school that has soccer that had no conference this year, and they had to fundraise. It was an absurd amount just to have one weekend and travel the rest. So to have the conference is kind of, do you want home games and you want to have a senior night or travel everywhere? Because that's the only games you can get. So, yeah.
But their districts don't have to make any adjustment to accommodate the new baseball?
A little bit, yes. They know that they're getting an extremely, extremely strong team in their conference. That's the part that...
No, I'm thinking financially.
Oh, financially? No, just having
like
us...
We have to adjust to send our kids up north.
They'll have to play some...
But then we have to help them come down here. Yeah. But they're not making any financial adjustment by this new...
They'll have to put in a little bit to come down because we won't pay like their entire team to come down. Yeah, they'll have to... It's a significant...
We have to pay 36 tickets for them, though?
Not us. That was another school scenario.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But it does benefit us to have the home games anyway.
Oh, huge.
Yeah, I'm annoyed that we as a school district have
Region
to pay more,
is
and that the northern schools that are in the same conference are like, too bad.
Yeah.
You gotta pay for part of our way down.
It's crazy, some of the amounts just to
seems pretty unfair.
Some of the games. It is, and that's why the Southeast schools take care of each other so nicely. We will come to you if you come to us and keep that going, which has saved us there, that they will support us. Yeah.
I can say, like, having
you've been there.
Served in Fairbanks as high school of over 400 students, my entire activities budget was $182,000 my first year, but that included all of those extra duty contracts that you just saw. So by the time those were paid, then I only had anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 per sport to pay for travel. So it truly was a pay-to-pay situation for parents. And so as a parent, I had to pay, I think, anywhere between $5,000 a year for each of my girls to play basketball. So the burden, unfortunately, does go on the parent. And then by the time I left the district, just due to our declining budgets across the state, that $182,000 was cut by $20,000. And I know it got cut again as I've been talking with my colleagues. So.
And the difference, like, normally one trip for us, average trip is about $5,000 plus for one trip. Their trip is a bus ride down the street. It's very different.
Well, I mean, you say pay to play, but I feel like we do here, too, because the money you have to send for food or a trip for your kid is, it's easily over that.
They're there for 4 days.
Yeah.
And it's
$50 a day.
And our participation rates, I had no idea, are so high compared to some other districts across the country. Like 30% is high for some places. I'm like, whoa. And they're bigger than us, and they have 30% in one or more. We are just skyrocketing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other comments or questions about the activity handbooks? Okay. Thank you. Let's move on then to which is our back to school information. So I don't know if we have. Hopefully they're all on the school website, but also look for those that are listening. Should be on Facebook page, and then the new, I keep saying new app, it's not new, but it's probably new to a lot of us.
I'll also echo kind of on the same, like, get some communication out there. I couldn't find school supply lists, and I don't remember if it was for
fifth grade or eighth grade, but one of the two. The other day I was trying to look on the app, and there's a document section, or maybe just in the feed, if we could get that up there again, or in an email. Sometimes all those avenues of communication, it's like, wait, why can't I find that one thing?
Yeah, and then our elementary school is going until 3 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 15-minute change, 1:30 on Fridays. And then one other thing that I was going to note, this might be minor in comparison, but just because it will make Miss Tinas really happy to hear it on the radio. The direction of the crosswalk has changed. Be prepared at that intersection going towards the end of the parking lot for drop-off. It's a diagonal crosswalk now. Please don't ever turn right. You're going to run kids over. Just go straight up the hill after you stop. But be advised. The crosswalk has changed directions.
Mm-hmm. Is that
going corner to corner?
By the ramp
awesome. Side of it. Yeah. I don't want anyone dropping their kids off the first day and like freaking out about this. I think it's going to be really helpful, but don't turn right. If you circle in the parking lot to drop your kid off, do not turn right, which has always been the rule. Mm-hmm. That gets broken a lot.
Those barriers help.
The barriers are going to make it, because of the direction of the crosswalk, though, seeing kids across that crosswalk with those barriers is going to be a problem if you try to turn right.
Oh, yeah.
You will have less response time. Do not turn right.
Ooh.
So, okay. Making Miss T proud tonight. She'll be thrilled.
Okay. Any other back-to-school reminders, start and stop time, registration dates, which is next week, I presume, will be up on
the website?
Okay.
Oh, I really need the app.
I just haven't seen anything.
I haven't either.
Where is this?
I'm going to be honest. I don't put it up. I give it to the secretaries because they know how.
Okay.
I do not think it is
confusing beyond me. So it was put up on SpellShare again. And through the Facebook page.
This thing.
Can we share one more time what ThrillShare is?
How do I get it?
Yeah. What is it?
What is this?
Is it a separate app from the school district app?
Do I have to search for it?
You guys won't know what ThrillShare is. It is a system that we use internally to send out, to push out to you guys.
Okay, what do I need?
So when you receive like the texts that come from the school, like the school alerts, we send that through ThrillShare.
Okay, so anybody who receives those like typical emergency only messages should also be receiving correspondence that's been put up on ThrillShare, because I can tell you.
How do I get this?
You can email through ThrillShare is Facebook. ThrillShare is Twitter. It's not Instagram because it keeps telling us we're doing bad things.
how do we get it then?
Do you have this app?
You don't need.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't need ThrillShare.
What do I need though to get these messages? Because I'm not getting any of these things.
When they send it via text, you'll see it via email. When it's sent via email, so you'll see it on Facebook if you follow on Facebook, and it is posted to Facebook. And then it also posts to the app in the live
feed. That's what I'm asking for. What is the app?
Okay. It is a PCSD.us app that
you can find it.
Go to the App Store.
Yes.
That's what makes me this like
messaging out soon, and really start re-pushing the app. It sounds like the app was pushed out a few years ago. Yeah.
But I didn't look at it once last year.
How do I find it?
We'll figure it out after the meeting.
Okay, sorry.
But I wouldn't mind actually for...
Oh, it's just on that. That's right.
The email. Okay, the good old email for like the parents to go out with like the reminders and then say, hey, go get on the app.
Figure out.
It's going to start showing up on the app so you can look at the app from now on.
So this isn't new.
Because I think people are expecting it.
Okay.
All the stuff on there.
Okay.
That piece that you're asking for, I think as John's been working behind the scenes, mm-hmm. we're planning that for like that first week or two coming back. We're getting, so as a district, we are through the app, there's a feature called Rooms. Rooms is what all of the teachers are getting set up with their classrooms to really streamline communication so that through the app, mm-hmm. which we will get messaging out, parents who have students in multiple grade levels, let's say you have a child in elementary school, one in middle, one in high school, parents will, through the app itself, have a one-stop place mm-hmm. to communicate with the teacher or even with the office to say your kid's sick that day, rather than trying to find the phone number and call the school or, you know, finding the right way to get a hold of us. So we're working behind the scenes now to get it all set up. We'll get messaging put out like the first or second week of September. So right now it's kind of like that's I apologize for the confusion, but that's kind of where it is. So
okay.
We'll get messaging going out very soon about, you know, if you don't have this app, get it. Here's the information about it. But truly, you'll, as a parent, be able to communicate through the app directly with the teacher of the classroom. If a teacher, let's say Alice is finding out that 3 days from now the weather looks great and we're going to take the kids to the glacier for the study, and she needs to get the information out really quickly, she can go, rather than trying to go into PowerSchool and grab all the emails, she can go to the app and quickly get the messaging along with any permission forms out to the teachers and the students all at once, and it gets it pushed out so that you have all that mm-hmm. right there along with the files. So that'll be, as we get through to the next few weeks, you'll see information starting to come. So that's the confusion of the app. Thrill Share, as Mara shared, is our one-way push out communication to you guys. That sounds like we need to, as district and school, be getting some communication.
I think, yeah, especially in the next few days.
Yeah.
Registration, the backpacks, the laptops, school supply.
I can see that was the registration on the backpack Thursday, thing and a few other things, but the times for registration next week is usually, people need to know.
I knew about the backpack thing. I don't know how I knew about the backpack thing.
We're working on streamlining and enhancing the communication.
Great.
Thank you.
I will say that, John, I think he has to send something out, physically out to you, because I tested it last year with him for the rooms, and I'm glad that it's a really nice, I was like, man, I wish I had this when Oliver was in school, because I could have stayed on top of him a lot easier with it. But, yeah, it was really nice. Because it's just like a text thing, and you can just go into your phone and, like, I need that teacher, and you don't even have to go into your email.
Yeah. And just recognition that teachers are teaching throughout the day, so please don't, as we get it launched, please don't expect immediate responses from individuals, because we are an instant gratification society. But we do want to honor that teachers need to be able to teach, and they will get it and respond.
What about, is there like a new middle school student back to school night or learn about middle school for those sixth graders? Okay. Got it. Thank you.
It is on the calendar.
It's on the calendar.
Okay. What day and time is that, Lauren? As you're looking in your app.
September 5th, 5:30.
September 5th, 5:30. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. A few days after school starts. When? September 7th.
September 4th is a Thursday.
Okay.
September 5th is Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. But registrations aren't on the calendar yet. Oh, there it is. It is on. Okay. But more information is coming.
It's awesome.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I always
look at. Well, look, I can click a button and add it to my calendar.
Jamie has, he has everything on there. All the school events are on there. You just flip through it.
I don't doubt with a little bit of time, it will be great for every parent that they will all migrate to that and no longer use our email.
Yes. But that's our hope. My calendar is on the website if you visit the website.
Yeah.
The full website if you're not using your phone. Your desktop website.
Okay. Any additional comments from board members? Oh, no, we need to 15.5, sorry. Yeah. This is our board business. Oh, we do have a back-to-school staff lunch we need to consider.
Oh, yeah.
Next Friday?
Yep. In a week from... So don't take off for Labor Day weekend too quickly.
That's lunch.
Lunch, yeah.
At noon in our little
what we've done in the past, which I don't know if it will still work, but we brought different salads, one or two salads, and then usually there was some sort of major. I don't know. What are we thinking? Dessert.
We had done
pulled pork for the last 2 years. Pork and rice. And then you guys have brought salads. I took care of the pork and rice. And I think we asked you to bring a dessert, too. Do you want to continue?
Is staff still one?
It was.
There are a few staff members here. What did you think, guys? Did you like to weigh in on the lunch last year?
People seem to like the pork, and I don't think I've ever heard a complaint about it.
Okay.
And the salads are always really nice, you know.
Okay. Do you want to plan on that?
So you are invited, of course, to attend and sit there and be congratulated and thanked. And that's at noon on that Friday. And if not, you can just drop it off with myself and I'll put it out for you.
Okay.
And if any of you are interested and available, we'd love to invite you to be present for the off-staff in-service starting at 8 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, the 28th. We do have a number of new staff, and so it might be a great time to introduce you, associate names and faces.
On the 28th?
Mm-hmm. At starting at 8 o'clock.
I think also
Okay. The 28th at what time?
Yeah. In the
auditorium.
Is it okay to just come for a little bit? I have my own summer staff debrief stuff on that day.
Okay. Yeah, so if you can make it at 8 a.m. on the 28th as well, that would be great.
On the 28th.
In the auditorium, just at least so that staff can have a face with a name.
Yeah.
And then the 29th, we'll do the lunch at noon in the Viking Cafe. Unless it's sunny.
I'm still serving in the Viking Cafe.
I know, but I'm
not serving food.
The weather looked great this morning, and then not so much this afternoon.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Upcoming dates and media notes.
Hold on.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, Nicole gets to give her bad news.
Sorry, but prior to that.
Yeah.
November is the annual
school
board AASB training. I am wondering, you guys do have it in your budget to attend that training. Is there anyone interested in attending that I could coordinate with, travel?
When I will be going.
The first week of November, 5th, 6th, 7th.
No, Wednesday has a lot of new board training.
Right, so I have a handle.
No,
it's,
I have it.
Wednesday of that week
to the 16th.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 13th.
Yeah.
13th to the 16th?
Yeah.
So I'll say Wednesday is a lot of new board training, and then it's mostly... And no, new board training on Thursday, right? And then it's... The meat of it is Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
And then you can stay for... resolution Sunday morning. I've done it once. It was pretty interesting to attend, but we are only allowed one vote because we're such a small district that it's kind of like, yeah, all right. We don't have much of an impact. So most of us fly home on Sunday just because it is a long time to be gone out of work.
So it's Wednesday.
You probably fly on Wednesday the 12th.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I would, you know, the new board training that they have on that Thursday is really good. If you're feeling like you would benefit from and attending that, the day, I would. I've done it once
that's
early
on.
Wednesday. Yeah, and it's. I know. Sorry, it's on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
So it's just they do a good job at kind of covering what you should and should not be doing as a board member.
Okay,
it's a good reminder.
Mm-hmm. Well. And then they have that also on Friday and Saturday with different mm-hmm. classes, but. They just really focus on people that are in their first term of being on the school board on that Thursday.
Okay. Yeah, I can see if I can get time to do that.
So let Mara know as soon as, you know, it's nice to know earlier just because she can book it earlier. But
do you know what hotel it's at?
It's back at the Hilton, I believe.
Okay.
They've only been to the Captain Cook once since I've been on the board.
They got it last year.
I feel like both years.
Cook, but then I think they had to move back.
Well, we went last year, and it was at the Marriott or Hilton. Was it the Hilton? Yeah, it was at the Hilton.
Oh, yeah, I didn't go last year. That's why.
Yeah, Robin and I were the only ones able to go. Yeah. That was at the Hilton. But Kevin Cook's right, you know, it's downtown. Yeah. They kind of have been going back and forth at some point. Upcoming elections.
Yeah.
I do plan to rerun. Nicole?
Oh, you were saying, I thought you were looking at upcoming dates and meeting.
No, No, upcoming elections. I'm just trying to glaze over it because I know what your answer is. And we're just going to ignore.
I have decided that I will not be running for re-election. So I hope that somebody out there listening is ready to step up to the plate and fill the position. So spread the word, but just too much on my plate right now.
Yeah, well, we certainly appreciate the last 3 years you put in and your point of view and your help. Mm-hmm. It's been invaluable.
That's a great question. Thank you.
All right. Additional comments from board members? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to upcoming dates and meeting announcements. The academic and activities calendar can be viewed on the school website, but more importantly,
on the new app.
On the app.
The app.
Yeah.
Not new, but the newish app.
I had it all through Irish High School.
Re-emphasize the app.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And for those of us to start actually using it. Future agenda items? I don't have anything right now. Other new business, we don't have any, so I'll make a motion to adjourn. Can I have a second?
A second.
Motion's made and seconded by Nicole. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. We are adjourned.
Good work, team.